You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It truly is an honor, my honor, to be here with you tonight, my friends, my family, here on the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Such a special time of year this is. October, the leaves are changing colors, that great fall weather is in the air, and it's special for a whole lot of reasons. I love this time of year. Thanksgiving's around the corner, Christmas not too far away. I even enjoy getting into the spirit of Halloween myself, and so do my kids. We were out with the family visiting a pumpkin patch this weekend, and we're going to get all the porch decked out and decorated with jack-o'-lanterns, and you know how it goes. I really do love this time of year, but it's not just because of the seasonal change. It's because this is a profound time of year for the Political Cesspool radio program. I don't know if you looked at the date, ladies and gentlemen, but today is not quite the 11th anniversary of our show first taking to the airwaves. That'll come next week, October 26th, 2004. We're just days away from celebrating 11 full years on the air. But I'll tell you what today is. 1 year ago today, a whole lot of you were jam-packed into a sold-out ballroom here in Memphis, Tennessee. That was 1 year ago tonight. And if you were there, why don't you send me an email? I'd love to hear from you. That was not just the most incredible experience of my political career, and I've had a lot of them. I've traveled to a lot of places. I've done a lot of great things. I've met incredible people. I have, you know, had some interviews with a lot of folks that are very interesting. But you know, certainly that was the highlight of my career so far, but not just my career. It was really one of the highlights of my life to be in a room with that much love and that much hope and that much enthusiasm. And I guess to a certain extent, some of that exuded from the head table. But that event was so memorable and so fantastic because of the people who were there, the people in this radio audience, which is, without question, second to none. So very proud, ladies and gentlemen, that we're able to continue in this work together as we make a positive impact in the hearts and minds of our people. Wilburn Sprayberry was one of the people in the crowd last year at this time, and he wrote this after he returned home. The Political Cesspool's 10th year anniversary was educational, entertaining, and emotional beyond any conference in our movement I have ever attended. If one word could describe the experience from start to finish, it would be joyous. Sam Dixon said the same thing. Sam Dixon speaks at about a half a dozen of these things every year, at least, and that's not counting the one he attends just as an observer. He said it was the happiest conference he'd ever been to. Ingrid Zundel, wife of Ernst Zundel, was, of course, there in the crowd as well, and we put her on the live show last year. And she said, out of hundreds of events she's been to, this one was by far the best. Folks, you made that happen, and I'll tell you, from the music, our maestro, who added such a layer of atmosphere and depth and exuberance, from start to finish, as Wilburn Sprayberry wrote, that was just a very magical time. I wish I could bottle that up and sell it because I'd be a billionaire. It was almost like a drug, but in a very good and healthy way. And that was 1 year ago tonight that kicked off, and that was, of course, in Memphis, October 17th through the 19th. 2014. And a little later on in this month, and it just worked out. I really do feel, though, folks, that God has his hands on the righteous. If I had actually scheduled that for the weekend of our anniversary, which would have been the following week, it would have been a disaster. And let me tell you why. You know, we actually shot for that weekend because a week later would have been actually closer to our the day we first went on the air, our actual anniversary, than the weekend that we had it. But it just so turned out that the venue that we really wanted could only accommodate us on the date that we ended up having it, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. And it worked out better for some of the speakers that were going to be traveling in as well. We actually planned this conference in advance of my wife becoming pregnant with our second child. My wife gave birth last year on October the 27th. If we had had it a week later, I wouldn't have even been able to have been there. How about that? You don't think God works in great ways for those who believe? Well, I do. We'll talk more about that tonight. This is not going to be the anniversary show. That's next week. But I tell you what, I was out at the pumpkin patch, and what brought all this about in this opening segment tonight, I was at that pumpkin patch, as I mentioned a moment ago, with my family earlier today. And I remember standing there last year with Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby before we went over to the hotel. They came in a couple of days early to Memphis, and we just had an incredible time with these two heroes and giants of our people. And I was standing there, and I was thinking, you know what? It just seems like that was yesterday. I was standing here with Sam. And then I looked at the calendar, and of course I knew it was October, so I knew, you know, we were getting close, but it hadn't quite dawned on me yet. And I looked at it, and I said, that was a year ago. That was a year ago today. Anyway, it was very moving for me, and I know so many other people felt that too, and I've really got the itch. I've just been thinking about it all day. I've really got the itch to do another one. Do you think we should do another one, ladies and gentlemen? Let me know what you think. Should we do another one next year? I don't think we'll have time quite to plan it between now and next week, but maybe next year. Should we do that? Did you have fun last year, folks? Send me an email and let me know. Maybe we can do it again. If we had one half as good as last year's, it would still be worth paying a lot of money for. And anyway, so I'm excited. It's a great time of year for the show. A very significant time of year for the show. Certainly going back to our first day on the air, which is doesn't seem that long ago either, but it was 11 years come next week. We'll have a great anniversary show next week. But tonight, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be reflecting on the Columbus Day holiday in the second hour. We're going to be breaking down the Democratic debate. How disgusting and wretched was that? We'll break that down. And in the third hour, Mark Weber is going to be back on, director of the Institute for Historical Review, and he's going to be answering the question, why is it that the racial gap and disparity still exists in education today after all of the trillions of dollars, billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, whatever it is, that has been dumped into equalizing test scores and IQs? Why is there still a bigger gap as ever? Mark Weber is going to address that topic in the third hour, so stay tuned for that. But I'll tell you, it was a special week for another reason. Since the last time I was on the air with you, I have been to Washington, D.C. and back. And I go to Washington normally once a year, but for the first time since 2008, this year I decided to drive. I needed to make up some phone calls, had a lot of people expecting a return call, people, supporters, friends, family, since earlier this summer who have left messages with me that have gone unanswered, not because I didn't want to get back to them, but just because I'm spread so thin, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I could tell you, I wish I could impress upon you exactly how jam-packed every day of my schedule is. So I decided to coop myself up in a car and drive 15 hours to Washington, make this appearance, do this conference that I was attending, and then come back 15 hours back to Memphis. So in 30 hours of the car, I probably was on the phone for about 24 of those 30 hours. And the only hours I wasn't, it was about, you know, 2 in the morning, and I'm still driving. But it was, something else was accomplished besides catching up on phone calls, which was an absolutely liberating experience. It was so good to catch up with so many people. I'll tell you what was so incredibly moving about that trip. The highlight of it for me personally, when we come back, I think you're going to like it.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Napoleon once said, 10 people who speak make more noise than 10,000 who are silent. Well, what about 10,000 people who are listening to this show, who will listen to this show and do something? You know, that's the kind of audience we've gotten. A lot of them were here in Memphis last year. I can remember coming downstairs. I was a little late that Friday night. Last year, of course, you know how it works with the years, right? The date of last year will be one day later this year. Last year, October 17th, was on a Friday. And so I was coming downstairs a little bit late, and I turned the corner, and I just saw a sea of people there standing out in the area outside of the ballroom. And from there, it was just an incredible whirlwind. And, of course, that first night, Sam and I gave our talks. We had a full program on Saturday that culminated with the live broadcast, bar none, best show, most memorable show ever that we've done. And then on Sunday morning, it all, you know, the capstone was visiting Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave. What can you say? What can't you say? Well, I'll tell you, I had another great experience this week driving to Washington. Of course, it takes me through Virginia, and not just through Virginia, but dead center in the Shenandoah Valley. And you look on one side and you see the mountains, and you look on the other side of the highway, and you see the mountains, and they're separated by no more than you would. It's hard to estimate, I guess, but I mean, it's a short distance, you know, a mile, 2 miles. I mean, you can see them very close on both sides. You're going right through the middle where it all happened. You see exits as you go through the Shenandoah Valley to Fredericksburg, to Manassas, where the two battles of Bull Run were fought, to New Market. You know, the Battle of New Market. Think about the Battle of New Market, ladies and gentlemen. That was a Confederate victory that was won by kids from the Virginia Military Institute, who didn't even have shoes on, you know, 15-year-olds, you know, teenagers, young teenagers, you know, fighting seasoned Union troops. They won. Their commander was General John Breckinridge, who was the former vice president of the United States before the war started. When the war started, he joined the Confederate Army. He was convicted of treason by the United States Senate, the only senator in American history to be convicted of treason. He fought for the Confederacy. Can you see Joe Biden stepping down from his status, from his position, and fighting for something he believes in? God, no. Those were the kind of men that the Confederates were, though. And as I drove through the Shenandoah Valley, I realized why Robert E. Lee could not raise his sword against his native state, why he couldn't raise a sword against Virginia, because, you know, giants walked through there. I was driving through, you know, heroes walked through here. And it was just so beautiful, picturesque. You're going through the valley, you see these, you know, trees changing colors, and you see these churches and these farmhouses. And in some ways, maybe not a lot has changed in the rural South. But on the way home, I was able to stop in Lexington and visit the graves of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. They are buried about a mile from each other. Robert E. Lee is buried, of course, at the Lee Chapel at Washington and Lee University. I put pictures of it all up on the website, folks. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got a picture of me standing in front of a sarcophagus that was fit for a pharaoh. And Robert E. Lee truly was American aristocracy. If we had had a nobility system here, he would have been at the top of it. But he also was a great man and a great Christian man. He has a great cross at the foot of his tomb. He believed in duty. He believed in his people. He was a righteous man, full of wisdom and tact. And I've got pictures of him at rest. This is a beautiful sarcophagus. And not just that, though. Even in rest, his hand still clutches his sword. And I saw that and absolutely got chills. And there also at the Lee Chapel, you will see a Confederate battle flag that was actually surrendered at Appomattox. I mean, one that saw action. And I took a picture of it, and it's up there on the website tonight. And I got there right as they were closing. In fact, they had just locked the doors. And I told the girl, I guess she was a student there, you know, she looked to be about 18, 19. I said, you know, I told her who I was, and I told her what I do. And I said, you know, I'm driving back to Memphis. I was rushing here to try to get here before it closed. Is there any way I could go up and just have a moment at the sarcophagus? She unlocked the door, and it was almost like a presidential escort. I went up with the guy who was, I guess, over the museum there, and the young lady went up with me and a security guard. Almost, you know, just a private tour. And I was standing there, and I looked at her because she was young, and I said, you know, I don't know what they're teaching y'all now, but I want you to know that this was the greatest American that ever lived. And don't you forget that. And I'd like to play a clip from the movie Gods and Generals. We played this earlier this summer, but I'd like to play it again very quickly if we have the time. It's Robert E. Lee refusing command of the Union Army. This really sums up the kind of guy he was.
Allow me to get to the point, sir. I have been authorized by President Lincoln himself, with the full blessing of the War Department, to offer you full command of the Army with the rank of Major General, this army being raised to quell this rebellion. And, of course, to preserve the Union.
I assume this army is to be used to invade those areas to eliminate the rebellion by force.
Yes, sir. The federal government has been challenged by these rebels, who have been most effective in changing the sentiments of various state legislatures, challenging our constitution and challenging our central government. The attack on Fort Sumter cannot be ignored.
General, my home is right there across the Potomac, where you can see Arlington House from your front door. My family is spread all over this part of Virginia. If you invade the South, your enemy territory will be there, right across that river.
Well, sir, there is no great outcry for secession in Virginia. It's not a foregone conclusion that Virginia or Tennessee, Arkansas, or Kentucky will join the rebellion.
My friend, may I humbly submit that you're mistaken about Virginia. As you know, the legislature is convening in Richmond this very day to discuss the very issue of secession. Now, perhaps you know their mind better than they themselves. And I regret to say the president's hasty calling up of 75,000 volunteers to subdue the rebellion in the cotton states has done nothing to ameliorate the crisis. It has only deepened it.
I trust you're not being too hasty yourself, Colonel. This is a great opportunity for you to serve your country.
My country, Mr. Blair. I never thought I'd live to see the day that a president of the United States would raise an army to invade his own country. No, Mr. Blair, I cannot lead it. I will not lead it.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, sir. I fear you're making a most dreadful mistake.
Sir, would you please convey my deepest sense of honor and gratitude to the president, but I must decline his offer. Please tell him, please be clear. I have never taken my duties lightly, but I have no greater duty than to my home, to Virginia.
That was a dramatization, of course. Robert E. Lee playing the role of, or rather Robert Duvall playing the role of Robert E. Lee during the movie Gods and Generals. But that's historically accurate, and that's the kind of man he was, and he fought for what he believed in, knowing that the odds were almost insurmountable. A true American hero, and I was honored to stand at the foot of his tomb just a few days ago. He wasn't the only one I visited. I'll tell you the rest of the story right after this. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We played that clip earlier this summer, the one you just heard from Robert Duvall, who actually is not a direct descendant but a collateral descendant of Robert E. Lee. Interesting fact. We played that earlier this summer in a series of some of the most meaningful shows we've done, right in the wake of the tragedy in Charleston when the Confederate flag was under such duress. We put together three or four in late June, early July, of the most passionate and ironclad defenses of why the South was right that I think anyone has ever done, if I do say so myself. And I don't think that's because we're so great or so knowledgeable. I just think the Spirit was leading us. But we played that clip during that time earlier this summer, so if you've heard it before, I appreciate you indulging me playing it again, coming back from Lexington, Virginia just a few days ago, visiting the grave of Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee buried inside the Lee Chapel at Washington and Lee University. After the war, it was just Washington University then, but Robert E. Lee was the president of Washington University, and after his death, it became Washington and Lee University. And I would encourage you to check out those pictures at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I had a marvelous time visiting. I was only there for a couple of hours. It was out of the way for me to even go there, but I needed to go there. Lexington, Virginia, where Lee and Jackson, Stonewall Jackson, are buried, is a picturesque college town of about 7,000 people. It's nestled in the hills of Virginia. It's just beautiful. And I really enjoyed catching up and spending some time enjoying the citizens and the scenery. I talked to a lot of people just out there on the streets, you know, just engaging in conversation. I went to the grave of Stonewall Jackson as well. He's buried at the Jackson Memorial Cemetery, and I've got a picture there on the website with me standing in front of the Jackson Monument where Stonewall Jackson is buried. And I was talking with an elderly couple there who were visiting, and we just had just an incredible conversation, you know, and it just reinforces in my heart and soul that people are with us. You go to the Jackson Monument there. I was there once before with my wife in 2008. We'd gone up to Washington for an event. And when we came back, we didn't get to see the Lee Chapel or the Lee Tomb because it was locked. We'd got there after hours. But we did get to go see the Jackson grave because he's buried outside. And then, of course, this year, as I just mentioned, they were locking the door as I got there, and I was able to, I guess, sweet-talk my way in. But I did get to visit Lee for the first time and Jackson for the second time, and I remembered this from the first time I visited Jackson's grave, that people had lemons all around the grave, and it's long been rumored that Jackson loved lemons, which is why people still to this day offer them as a tribute when visiting his monument and gravesite. And they were there again, and I was just talking to some of the people there who were taking pictures and paying tribute, and everybody to a soul. I guess you would expect that if they're standing at the grave revering a hero. But it is important that we have these statues and these monuments. You know, what these statues represent is an attempt to remember the history of our nation in its entirety and as it actually was, rather than at the discretion of the most easily offended. It's important to have heroes, and it's important to remember our heroes and to try to emulate them to the best of our abilities. Well, you'd be hard-pressed as an American, really as a human, to find mortals as great as Robert E. Lee, who I think was the greatest American, maybe the best person to ever live, probably the most Christ-like person we know of. And Stonewall Jackson is just right there in that same category. I'm going to play one more clip from the movie Gods and Generals. Stonewall Jackson talking to Jeb Stuart about the reasons why the South must fight in the Second War of Independence.
Lieutenant Colonel Stuart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stuart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart, use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54. Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche. Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we'll be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And, Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy.
Folks, one of the things Stonewall Jackson, who was played in that clip by Stephen Lang, says, and this is, again, historically accurate, if the North triumphs, it will be anarchy, the loss of responsible government and the triumph of commerce and the banks and factories. You know, truly prophetic. The progeny of the founders today are mocked and persecuted by their own government. And who has all the power but the banks and massive corporations? Exactly what Jackson predicted. And of course, we know there's a not so hidden hand that's a common denominator when it comes to the media and the banks and some of these other institutions of power. We know that, okay? But still, what Jackson says rings true. Actually, if you watch the movie Gods and Generals, which I would highly recommend, before that clip, Jackson is talking to one of his right hands, Pendleton. And Pendleton is also buried right there in the Jackson Memorial Cemetery in Lexington, Virginia. And when you go into Lexington, it's just such a small town, and there's two colleges there. You've got, obviously, Washington and Lee University, but you also have the Virginia Military Institute, where Stonewall Jackson, after his service in the United States Army, was a professor, was a teacher for many years before joining the Confederate Army. And that's actually the first thing you see is the Virginia Military Institute. And then there's Washington and Lee. And then there's these picturesque little boutiques and then the graves of these two incomparable Americans. Folks, it was tremendous to be able to be there, just to stand in the footsteps, just to stand in the shadows of these people, these giants. Truly an honor. And I'll tell you, it makes me all the more proud that just a few days ago, right when I got home from Virginia, as a matter of fact, we packaged up dozens and dozens of Confederate flags, and we sent them out to people all over the world, all across the country. Got an email today from a lady in Minnesota who said she got her flag. She didn't expect it to be quite so big. These were 3x5 flags, 3-foot by 5-foot flags. We, you know, anything we do in the political cesspool, we do it big, and we do it right. And it made me all the more excited that we chose that as our fundraising incentive back in September for the third quarter drive, as our heroes, their monuments, their memory is under increasing attack in today's degenerate society, that we were able to get out well over 100 flags. Some of them were Bill Rowland's flags, who people ordered. And then we had a lot of people who didn't quite have the funds to contribute $100 or more, which entitled them to the incentive. So we reached out to our good friend Scott Goldsmith at Dixie Republic, who donated absolutely free of charge to us dozens more Confederate flags that we shipped out at our expense to people out there in our listening audience who wanted a Confederate flag but didn't have the money to buy one. And we understand that. We're working class folks. This is middle class. This is real America here, and we represent those people. You are me, and I am you, and we're all in this together. And anyway, they all should be delivered by now, except for those of you who live internationally. Those will still be a few days out. But I would ask you this, though, folks. In return for his sacrifice, with Christmas only a couple of months away, ask you to consider doing the majority of your gift shopping this year in December at Dixie Republic's online store, DixieRepublic.com. But when you get those flags, remember what they stand for: resistance to tyranny and opposition to centralized government. And fly them proudly. We'll be back with Scoop right after this.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more thing about Virginia. Sam and I were talking about this in the break. You know, don't forget that Virginia has a history dating back to, what, the 1600s? It was named after Queen Elizabeth, right? Queen Elizabeth I, the daughter of Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII, the Virgin Queen, and so many great Americans, not just Confederates. George Washington was a Virginian, and we were talking about this. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that the Founding Fathers would have fought for the South. You know, that there that the things that the two armies, the Revolutionary Army, the original army in the war, the American Revolution, and then the Confederates. So many of them were direct descendants of the Founding Fathers. There's just no doubt they would have fought. And one other sight to see in Virginia is Natural Bridge, which is exactly what you would think. It's a natural bridge. It's a rock bridge with the dome, and it's a beautiful sight. And George Washington actually surveyed that well before the war. And so a lot of history in Virginia if you get a chance to go there. And I'll tell you, another great Virginian is none other than our very own Scoop Stanton, who is calling in tonight for his weekly report. So from Robert E. Lee to Scoop, Virginians just don't quit. Scoop, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. Well, I'm a transplanted Virginian. But if you see the latest group of Virginians that are coming here to Northern Virginia, the D.C. area, you'd probably move somewhere else. But that's for another story.
Well, we won't judge Virginia by the D.C. area just as much as we hope that people don't judge Tennessee by Memphis.
Right. But, all right, speaking of Memphis, we first want to express our condolences to the family of Memphis Police Officer Terrence Oldridge, who was getting ready for work and got into a shootout with a neighbor after an argument. Officer Oldridge leaves a wife who is 4 months pregnant. We're holding off further comments about this situation as authorities are still investigating the case, and the shooter is only charged with felony possession of a firearm and not murder. And, of course, the Black Lives Matter group is sitting this one out, too, because of black-on-black crime. But the war on police isn't just out in the street. This past week, I went to an open house at my local police and fire stations, and shout-out to Sully and the boys and the gang over at Battalion 21. I spoke to many of the cops and deputies as they love the shirt I was wearing. This is Stop the Cop Killing, Support the Police. But the morale of the police is at zero. The media, the courts, politicians, and the public are all out to get the police. I was talking to lots of these officers, and I'm told that the complaints against the police are through the roof. The supervisors are forced to investigate frivolous and bogus complaints against the rank and file out patrolling our streets. And then the politicians are settling lawsuits on the spot. For example, Baltimore, Maryland, where no trial, nothing, and the city of Baltimore wrote a check to the family of Freddie Grave. Now, businesses are getting in on the war on cops. Restaurants are refusing to serve the police. Idiots who work at Dunkin' Donuts are scribbling Black Lives Matter on coffee cups and giving them to the officers. And now a tourist trap near my house has a Black Lives Matter sign in a window of one of the buildings. Cox Family Farms in Centerville, Virginia, decided to put up a sign so motorists on a very busy stretch of road could see it. Consequently, I was at this tourist trap on Columbus Day, and luckily for my family, I did not see the sign or yours truly would have turned the Chevrolet around. This particular tourist attraction had almost zero black lives in attendance, and the few that were there in attendance were not the type of people you would see on the evening news concerning criminal activity, nor would the Black Lives Matter crowd be protesting these people because they actually have a job. But for the people over at Cox Family Farms, on Facebook, you said Black Lives Matter and support the police is one and the same. No, it's not. Because, first of all, Black Lives Matter is a lie. Second of all, Black Lives Matter crowd are ones in the streets saying, what do we want? Pigs in a blanket. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. And on top of that, the folks, fine folks over at Cox Family Farms live nowhere near these type of people. So, Cox Family Farm really cared about black lives and Black Lives Matter. They charter a whole bunch of buses from the east side of the District of Columbia in Prince George's County, Maryland, and get lots of these black people into their farm and free of charge and see what would happen. Now, the police department is not the only one that was in the news. The New York Fire Department also made the news. The world's greatest fire department made a YouTube video called It Gets Better, featuring gay, lesbian, and a God knows what, telling people in the LGBTQWLRM community that it gets better. This video was promoted via Twitter by the first lesbian of New York, Charlene McRae, who married the incomparable and incompetent Bill de Blasio. Now, the New York Fire Department was one of America's greatest institutions. Guys would give up a body part to get hired by the fire department and join one of New York's bravest. These are the same people that ran into the Twin Towers, climbed all them stairs to get them people out, knowing that they might not get out, and 343 did not get out. But now the fire department is a laughingstock with unfit recruits still on the payroll who can't pass a run test, sure as hell can't lift their own body weight, sure as hell can't lift me if I'm in a burning building, and then they come out with a freak show video. Now, Mayor de Blasio still isn't finished. The New York Post reports that Greasy Mansion will have more diversity on the walls, where portraits of George Washington are being taken down, and people like Pierre Toussaint and other diverse individuals will be on the wall of the Greasy Mansion. Now, granted, General Washington was a Virginian, but he was America's first president. He was inaugurated in New York down on Wall Street, and he's probably one of our greatest presidents of all time. Also, General Washington never owned it. He did own some slaves, but upon his death, he ordered all slaves to be freed. So, thanks for nothing, Bill de Blasio, for turning New York into a cesspool. James, back to you in the studio.
So much you covered just then, Scoop. Where to sink my teeth into? Yeah, it is a shame what you say about the New York Fire Department. You know, certainly can be extended to other police and fire departments in major cities where diversity reigns, and to our United States military as well, where it's just, you know, a freak show now. It's just a freak show. You've got lesbian, you know, admirals and, you know, homosexuals and women, and then now you got the men have to go through. Eddie sent me this. You know, Eddie's a man's man, right? I mean, he's a fighter. He's a soldier, like so many. I mean, Scoop served. Art Frith served. Winston Smith served. Most of our people served in the armed forces here on our staff. And now they're making men, as they go through boot camp, wear these pregnancy bellies so they'll know what it would be like to be pregnant and have to go out and fight in battle. Well, what kind of degenerate, sick, depraved country would send the mothers of their children, the wombs who carry life into the next generations? Even savages, right? Even savages know to protect their women. I mean, in some cultures, surely. And then yet we're sending them out to war and teaching men how to feel like pregnant women, so, you know, there's no gender bias or whatever they want to call it. So this is, you know, political correctness is a moral rot. All of this is just, it defies belief. It's unfathomable. Very hard to be proud to be an American. I'm not saying that because I disagree with the current administration, but the entire culture that is being impressed upon us, obviously most people don't go with it, not in real America, not in flyover country, not in red state America, but what's being passed down from the head table, who would want to eat any of that? But Scoop, in addition to everything you just mentioned, I believe you have an update on Ahmed the Clockmaker.
Yep, that's right, James. Ahmed the Clockmaker, who tore apart his daddy's Radio Shack alarm clock and stuck it in their briefcase, well, he's in town visiting the President of the United States, and also he's making a trip over to the Council of American Islamic Relations. Now, you know, if he wants to go over to care and plot and, you know, how to ruin America, that's fine. But For him to go visit the Obama administration at the White House, and none of the orphans and widows we've talked about, none of the orphans and widows of those shot in Tennessee or any other American heroes, is absolutely disgusting. You know, Bo Bergdahl's family was over there. Ahmed the Clockmaker's over there. I mean, who's next? I'm even that trainee from the New York Fire Department. He'll get an award. This is the same administration who called Bruce Jenner courageous and a hero. And meanwhile, the Cambridge police stupid for doing their job. So it's worse and getting worse, more worse. Bob Grant used to say it's sick and getting sicker. So it's only a matter of time before Obama's out, and hopefully somebody with some cojones will fix this country. And then
there's only one running. There's only one running, and I don't want Hillary to be president myself. So.
No.
We'll take Trump. I just kidding. Hillary actually probably does have bigger cojones than a lot of the people on that Republican stage. But Ahmed the Clockmaker, Winston wrote about this. You remember this, right, guys? The guy, the Muslim kid, goes into school and he has this provocative thing, intending almost purposefully, certainly purposefully, to set off an alarm. No pun intended. Hasn't it been proven, though? Now, when it first happened, the media was pawing all over him, and he was getting grants from Bill Gates and from some of these other tech companies, and he had the invitation to the White House. But hasn't it been proven now, demonstrably proven, Scoop, correct me if I'm wrong, that this was, in fact, just a clock that he took the face off of? He didn't invent anything, and he still gets to go to the White House?
Yep, you would be correct, because those who have any electronic engineering background post on YouTube within 2 minutes about how this kid's a fake phony fraud.
Wow.
Put up the
water. Ain't that America, folks? Thank you, Scoop, for your contribution tonight, as always, my friend. When we come back, we're going to break down Columbus Day, why that should be a holiday worth remembrance, and the Democratic debate, much more. Mark Weber in the third hour. Stay tuned.